Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Shabbos of Parsha Shmini. I'd like to dedicate this evening's shiur. Unfortunately, my family received some bad news this morning. My nephew, Eretz Yisrael, the son of my sister, was shot in Gaza this morning, and he was injured in the arm. Unfortunately, I had to amputate the bottom part of his left arm. And he's going to need quite a number of serious surgeries to hold on to and repair whatever's left of the arm and to progress. His name is Eyal Matan ben Yehudis Chana, and we should learn, and people should say tell him for his refuah, b'soch shar chole Yisrael. This evening's shiur is going to be a little bit different than some of the regular shiur that we give. As some of you may know, this coming week, next week, is the 10th Yahrzeit of Moreno Rabbeinu Rav Hagaon of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levroche. Rav Lichtenstein, of course, for the last 40-plus years of his life, was the head of Yeshiva Har Etzion, known as Gush in Eretz Yisrael. I was privileged to learn in the late 1970s, long ago, and was a towering leader of our Torah community and so on. And I'm not going to give a hesped tonight, but rather the yeshiva asked that people who are talmidim of his and so on should speak in these few days leading up to his 10th yahrzeit as things that we may have learned from or seen in his name and shiurim from him. So what I'd like to do this evening is talk about a subject I entitled the shiur, the severity of sinas chinam, through the lens of a gaon of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levroche. And most of what I say is based on a couple of different shiurim of his, my own interpretations and understandings as well, woven in. We'll start to connect it to the Seder. He didn't speak about this, but we find in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, the first of the sources, Vayikra Perek Tes, first four Pesukim of the Seder, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, on the eighth day meaning the eighth day, not the eighth day of the month. It was actually the first day of the month of Nisan, just a little less than 1 year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just a little less than a year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that was the day that the Mishkan was put into operations. The eighth day means the eighth day following the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, the 7 days of preparation we read about in the previous Seder, Parshat Tzav. We forgot about that already because we had Pesach in between. But at the end of Parshat Tzav, the Torah said that for 7 days there was a preparation period sort of to get the Mishkan ready and get the workers in the Mishkan, like Kohanim, accustomed to what they were doing, etc. So now, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, on the eighth day, so they were ready to inaugurate the Mishkan, and the Torah describes in the Sedra korbanos that had to be brought in connection with that event. So in Pasuk Bey, Varmel Aaron Kachocha Egel Ben Boker Lachatos, Aaron, who is now being inaugurated, his investiture as a Kohen Gadol, on this first day of Nisan, the eighth day of after the seven preparatory days, had to take an Egel Ben Boker Lachatos, an Egel calf, as a chatas offering, or also other offerings, the calf was a chatas offering. In the third pasuk of El Bnei Yisrael, as far as the rest of the Jewish people are concerned, they had to bring kechu seir izim lachatos. They had to bring a seir izim, a goat, as a chatas, and various other korbanos as well. So why did Aaron have to bring an eagle? So there, Rashi comments in the second source, Vayikra Perek Tes Pasuk Beis, Kachocha Egel Odia, Shemechapel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that eagle there, Al Maisa Egel Sheosa. This was an atonement for the Chet HaEgel. Aaron was very involved, as we know, in the Chet HaEgel. He actually fashioned the eagle according to the simple reading of the Pesukim and so on back there in Parshas Kisisa. So therefore, Aaron had to bring an eagle. Rashi doesn't discuss why the Bnei Yisrael had to bring, in addition to that, they also had to bring an eagle for an Ola, but why do they have to bring a series? Even that's not mentioned in Rashi, but the Targum Yonason, or Targum of Yuchas, Yonason Menuzil, I printed in source 3, I printed in the Aramaic, those who want to read it in the Aramaic. So it says that Aaron indeed had to bring the eagle in connection with the eagle hazor. If you look at the end of the first line, Al Isak Igla Davodos Bechore, Avodot Bechore, Davdos Bechore, the eagle that was made in Har Sinai, that's eagle hazor. And Apostle Gimel, it mentions the following, it mentions the Seir Chatos. You can take a look, I printed in source 4, the Kesey Yonason, which is a Hebrew translation of the Targum Yonason. So these psukim, Perek Tes Psukim, Beis and Gimel here in Vayikra, and Parsha Shmini, so you look, at the end of the first line of 4, in the Kesey Yonason translation, the Hebrew translation of the Targum Yonason, it says, Al Inyana Egel Shosisa Bechorev, right? Aaron had to bring an Egel in corresponding or connection with the Egel Azov that was brought to Har Sinai. And then in Pesuk Gimel, in Bnei Yisrael, you have to speak to them, they had to bring a Seir Ben Izim. Why? It says, Al Inyan Seir Ben Izim Sheshachtu Shvotov Shel Yaakov, Rimu Oso. Has to do with the goat that the brothers, the Shvotim, the 12, the brothers of Yosef, had shechted at the time when they sold him into slavery. Okay, and that's they also had to bring an egel because they also were involved in the egel azov. But they had to bring this extra korban, this seir, corresponding to the seir chatos that they corresponding to the seir izin that they had to that they shechted at the time when they claimed that Yosef had died and so on, and they deceived their fathers. So I printed it's in the sifra as well here in Shmini the sifra and in the Chilta the Miluim here on the Pasuk Gimel. So it's five. Vechimaro, you saw the Havi Yosemar. I had to bring an extra korban besides what Aaron brought. And again, because at the beginning, early in their career, early in their lives, the Shvatim shochtu vayishchetu sirizim, and later the Egel as well. So I printed the psukim, relevant psukim, in Parshas Vayeshev in source number six. I have to read all the psukim. We know that Yosef was favored by his father, right? Parak Lamed Zion of Bereshit. Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurim Eretz Canaan. El tells Yaakov Yosef was 17 years old, and Vayove Yosef is Dibo Som Royal Avihem. He reported his brother's misbehavior to the father, and then the father made him in Pasuk Gimel that special coat, and Pasuk Dalad. It says, "Vayuro echav ki oso av aviv mekolochav vayisneu oso." They hated him. That's what it means. Vayisneu oso. They hated him. They hated Yosef. And lo yachlu davar l'shalom. And again, then Yosef begins reporting his dreams. The pasuk, "Hey, va'achav Yosef chalom va'agir l'chav va'yosifu otsno." So they hated him even more. And then pasuk ches, you know, a few pesukim later. They said to him, because the dreams, of course, were them bowing down to him. It represented them bowing down to him. So he said, "What do you mean?" And so on. They hated him even more. So it says several times in these psukim that Yosef's brothers, by Yisnu, so they absolutely hated him. And then later on in the parak, starting in Pasuk Chav Gimel, when he came to find them in the field after they've been sent by their father, so he said, "Oh, look, who's coming? This dreamer is coming." And they ganged up on him and they stripped him of his coat, right? They took his coat off and they threw him into the pit. Pasuk Avdal by Kachu by Shlicho Sa Bora. They threw him into a certain pit. And then a few psukim later, Chavches, by Abru Anashim Midjan Sochrim, some Midianites and Yishmaelim and different people were passing by there. And one thing led to another and they sold Yosef into slavery, was brought down to Mitzrayim. And then the pasuk that's most relevant to us in Parak Lamed Zayin of Bereishis, pasuk Lamed Aleph, three lines in the bottom of six. By Yikros Ksonas Yosef, they took Yosef's coat. What did they tell the father? They took Yosef's coat. By Yishkatu Seirizim, they slaughtered a seir, a goat. By Yitpilu Sakatonas Medam, and they dipped this coat in his blood. And they came back to Yaakov and they showed him the coat and said, "Do you recognize, is this the coat you gave Yosef?" And Yaakov was crestfallen and devastated. Last pasuk and six, by Akira, by Omer Ksonas Bini, "Yes, that's my son's coat." Chaya Ra Chalosu, he was devoured, attacked by a wild animal. Torov Yosef, Yosef has been torn apart, Yosef is gone. So that sin, which culminated in the sale of Yosef and the shechting of the seir on the day of the dedication of the Mishkan, they had to bring us, the Knesset had to bring a seir. That's what the Targum Yonason says, others say this as well. So I bring this now as an introduction of Lichtenstein's Chalmah. I did not talk about this in connection with this topic, but we know that the sin of the brothers hating Yosef, as opposed to several times, is usually used as some sort of an example of sinas chinam, right? They hated him so much, they sold him. But Rav Lichtenstein, what he dealt with is the question of sinas chinam, or baseless hatred. Is there really such a thing as sinas chinam? Is there such a thing as baseless hatred? After all, even the case of Yosef and his brothers, they seem to have had reasons for hating him. He doesn't seem to be the nicest guy. He reported to the father, the end of Pasuk Beis there in Sor 6, and Bereishis Barak Lamed Zayin, Vayava Yosef et Dibosom Royal Aviyem, right? They reported, snitched on them, so to speak, reported them, or he may have had good intentions, whatever. And then he had dreams of them bowing down to him, you know, visions of grandeur and so is there really such a thing as sinas chinam? Do people really hate the baseless hatred? I mean, you know, there's usually a reason. Right, Mistama, there's some sort of a reason you don't like somebody else. People don't get along. Mistama, there's some sort of a, you know, there's some sort of a reason for it. So what do we mean exactly by sinas chinam? So we're looking to see noted that we have on a different direction, but there's something that will shed light on our topic as well. An interesting Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. I'm not interested so much in the pasuk. You know, and what's going on, the halacha that's emerged from, I'm sorry, not in the pasuk, when the halacha that emerged in these dinim, the particular theme of the Gemara there in Megillah is the sale of a shul, selling a shul, okay? In other words, you're not supposed to sell a shul in such a way that the kedusha is going to be diminished. However, there are some situations where the kedusha can, in fact, disappear. And the Gemara says depends on the nature of the sale, and there are various restrictions what you can and cannot do, and so on. But if the shul has been sold, there was a monetary transaction, and the shul has been sold, so then the halacha is that the buyer can do pretty much anything he wants with the building because it has no more kedusha. The kedusha, as it were, was transferred; has been transferred to the coins or to the money, which was received in exchange for the property. In other words, you sold the property and you got money in exchange. So now the kedusha, which was once in the shul, so to speak, has been transferred to the money. The Gemara wonders, what if you didn't sell? You gave it as a gift. You gave the shul building as a gift to somebody. That's the Gemara's kasha, Megillah Chof on Reis Source 7. It says matana. What if it's a matana? There was no coin. There was no money, bills, coins, whatever it is, on which to transfer the kedusha. It was simply a gift. So pligi bar of Acha Ravina, machlokas of Acha Ravina. Okay, chad osar, chad shori. One said, no, you cannot use it. The owner, since it was only a gift, the owner, the purchaser, then it wasn't a purchaser, the recipient of the gift, cannot use it for all purposes, can't use it for mundane purposes, secular purposes, and so on. The other one said, no, it's okay. Why? Because manda osar says, my tifka kedushosa. Since there was no money that changed hands, so how did the kedusha, it doesn't just disappear, how did the kedusha leave? What was it was exchanged? What was exchanged for? There was no money, okay? There was just nothing through which the kedusha was transferred. That's why he says it remains usur for the recipient of the gift to use it for non-kedusha purposes. However, man the shor, the other man domer, said that it is allowed. Ilav da havale hanomine lo have yoivle. Okay, if not for the fact that the giver of the gift got some benefit, maybe he didn't get money, but he got some benefit, he wouldn't have given it as a gift. In other words, it's the assumption of the Gemara is you don't just give a gift for nothing. There's no such thing really as a matnas chinam. Maybe you gained something psychologically, maybe you gained something emotionally, maybe you gained some favor, or something. It's always something you get. You might know that this is perhaps a cynical view of human nature. Okay, but everything is based on a person's interests. Okay, and but the Gemara doesn't disagree. The Gemara says at the end, "Hod da havale matana kizvini." The Gemara concludes that no, even giving it as a gift has the same status as selling it. In which case, the recipient now can do what he wishes because it's the same thing. The kedusha has in fact been taken away. Look at Rashi. So I say, "Matana nosu min erbeis haknesa tashmish echol." I gave the building of the shul as a gift for tashmish echol for mundane, secular purposes, non-kodesh purposes, and that's halacha. The Rambam Paskins Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Tefila halacha chaf. Source number 9, Kishem Shemutal Mukor Reis HaKnesa Kach Nosin Esau Matana. Just like you can sell it and the Kedusha goes away, so too, you can give it as a gift and the Kedusha goes away. She'iloi hal en matzibur hanoya matana zula nasnu. Because if the tzibur, whoever owned the building, usually the shul is owned by the community, if they wouldn't have gotten something out of it, they would never have given it away. So you get something out of it. The Shulchan Aruch rules this way too. Arachaim Simon Kuf Nun Gimel Sifyat Aleph in 10 Beis HaKnesses or Levain of Eitzim, the bricks, the wood, whatever it is that you gave it away after it was knocked down. Let's say you can give it away as a gift because the Lav the Havale Anomine Lavi Yavile and Hada Havale Kemecher. It's like selling it, the same thing. You'll always get something in return, and therefore the Mishabur writes and they've gotten Samach Zayin there in Simon Kuf Nun Gimel Arachaim 11. While Okeach the recipient Yochel Ishtamish Ba. Bum, tashmish chol, you can use it for whatever you want. So there we have a notion, again, I'm not interested in the details of the sugya, excuse me, but we have an example of a situation where we assume that when something happens, people do it for a purpose. There's something that it's based on. The Rav Lichtenstein then pointed to another Gemara in Gittin Nun Beis, a totally different discussion, a totally different halacha. Again, I'm not interested in the details of halacha, but the idea is that the halacha declares, take a look at source 11, Gittin Nun Amud Beis. Actually, a quote from the Mishnah 12. Ein nifroim in chos meshubadim makom sheish benichom. The chos meshubadim means property, mortgaged property or property with a lien on the property. In other words, someone else with a previous claim. That's when you buy a house. You know, when you go ahead and you buy a house, so you have to check with the with the lawyers or whatever else to make sure there's no previous claim to the property. Otherwise, the buyer can come to you. Right, the creditor can come to you and say that house was mortgaged to me, and you say, yeah, but I bought it from that other guy. So you go find him. Meanwhile, he moved to Africa, so now you're out of luck. So you better check, you better check first. That's why we have what they call titles. So this being the case, that's what That's what the Gemara is talking about, called nechasim mishubadim. Nechasim mishubadim means mortgaged property, a property which has a lien on it. So the creditor, the halacha is, can't take from such property if there is b'nei chorin, if the debtor has b'nei chorin, liquid assets or other assets available. Okay, now what if the borrower has assets that had been sold to another party, mortgaged to another party, but he also has, other assets of his own? So again, the lender can't, claim his debt from the mortgage property because he has other things with which to claim it. Okay, so the Gemara with which to collect his debt. So the Gemara asks, "Boy, Rav Achda, boy, Bar Ami, b'matana heich." Okay, what do we say about property which the borrower who now owes this money, he gave it to a third party as a gift? He didn't sell it to a third party. The third party didn't buy it. Okay, he gave it as a gift. Now, do we say the same thing, that the creditor who's owed the money can't cut? He can still come back to the recipient of the gift and say, "I have a previous claim to this," even though the actual borrower still has other assets? Or do we say, no, it was given away as a gift? It's like the same thing as if it was sold, and therefore he cannot collect it. The lender, okay, the creditor cannot collect the debt from the recipient of the gift because the actual borrower has assets. Understand? So that's the same kind of kasha. So the Gemara asks, the question was asked, what's the story? Okay, do we say takantu the avod rabbanim shum pseidel lekuchos aval matana the lekup pseidel lekuchos? So do we say that the first ruling, you can't collect from somebody who actually bought the property because it's not fair to him? He laid out money, so why should the creditor be allowed to collect from him when he can collect his debt from the actual borrower who has assets? Okay, so therefore we say it's not fair. We have the halacha has mercy on the purchaser. He laid out money. But it's not the same thing with a matana. Or do we say no? O dilma matana nami. Ilav disle hanami nelo havle matana. V'hilchok kipsei delekuchas tami. No, do we say the same thing? Okay. Maybe we should say the same thing. Maybe we should say the same thing, with someone who's gotten something as a gift. Okay. Because the giver in this case was the borrower, the money, if he would not have gotten some benefit, he would not have given the gift. And therefore, the loss of the recipient of the gift is going to be on the same level, so to speak, as the lekuchos, as the people who had bought the property. So again, what I bring this gemara again is not for, or Lichtenstein brought this gemara in not because of the sugi itself, but again, you see the same language as the gemara in Megillah. You see the same thing. You wouldn't give a gift unless you got something in return. The Rambam brings the halacha hilchos mavaloba parak yotas halacha habeis 14. Ain nifrom nechas v'ram makom sheish nechas v'nechorin afilo hebenechorin ziburis, even was lesser quality stuff, and so on and so forth. And he says, what's important for us is not the quality of the property, but rather bein shemachrom bein shenostam. In fact, sold to a third party, given it's a gift to a third party, the din is still the same. And the Shulchan Aruch rules that way as well. And Choshen Mishpat Siman Kuf Yud Aleph Sif Ches 15 says the same thing. Okay, lo shna im at the end of 15, lo shna melaku hem lekucho so mekab matana, the same thing. So what emerges from all of this, again, is we're not interested in the details of the sugya, but the message of the Gemara. You can't speak of a gift that is given completely as a matnas chinam. Okay? So one could argue, therefore, Lichtenstein suggested, the same thing is true about what we call sinas chinam. It's not chinam. It's not baseless. It's not that it has no cause. You hate somebody. It's, there's usually a reason. There's something. It's not just out of a clear blue sky. And therefore, what do we mean when we speak about sinas chinam? Now, of course, we do know that there is such a thing as sinas chinam. Okay, in fact, the Gemara says Numa Daf Tesma Beis that that's why the second Beis Hamikdash is destroyed on account of sinas chinam. 16, Numa Tesma Beis Mikdash Rishon Neim Acharev. Why was the first Beis Hamikdash destroyed? As we know, because Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shabbat, three cardinal averes that many people of Bnei Yisrael engaged at that time, and namely Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayos, Shrichas Damim. Right, the Avodah Zarah is idolatry, and Gil Arayos adultery and incest, and Shrichas Damim murder. That was during the Bias Rishon, and that's why the Bias Rishon was destroyed. However, the Gemara continues a few lines later on Tesma Beis in Yuma. Avol Mikdash Sheni, she oskim b'Torah mitzvos gmilas chasadim. There was a different type of situation in Mikdash Sheni. They weren't involved in those averes, at least not to the same extent, and they were involved in Torah and mitzvos gmilas chasadim. So what led to them being destroyed? Mibnei shehoisabo sinas chinam. Because of sinas chinam. I'll call it sinas chinam, baseless hatred. Okay, baseless hatred. La mercha shushkula sinas chinam can get shalosh averes. Avodah Zarah gilah shushkas damim. Sinas chinam is on the same footing, on the same level, of these other great averes, the three cardinal sins of idolatry, adultery, and murder. said here the Gemara speaks specifically about Sinas Chinam. Now, where do we say, I mean, okay, Sinas Chinam we understand is something which is pretty bad, but it's so severe that it led to the Churban HaBayis. It's on the footing of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. That's what the Gemara says, but it sounds somewhat astounding. Now, there is a pasuk in the Torah that speaks about not hating a fellow Jew, although it doesn't say Sinas Chinam, okay? The pasuk says in Parshas Kedosh, we'll read in a couple of weeks, Vayikra Perek Yud Tes, pasuk Yud Zayin, right? Lo sisnos achicha bilvavecha, not to hate a fellow Jew in your heart, and so on. And pasuk Yud Ches says lo sikam lo sitor, you can't bear a grudge and take revenge. And of course, it ends with the famous Vehav Torecha Kamocha. So clearly, not allowed to hate another person, but you know what's pasuk is speaking about there. Pasuk Yud Zayin is lo sisnos achicha bilvavecha, in your heart. You didn't necessarily even do anything. There was no action, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara says in Erechon Tezdanim Beis, source 18, Tonar Rabbanon Lo Sisa Sechel Bavecha. So what does it mean? You're not allowed to hit another person. Yochel Lo Yakenu, you can't hit him. Lo Yisterenu, or beat him. Lo Yikalalenu, Kalalenu, or curse him. Tamalon Bil Vavecha, Sina Shebelev HaKosim Medaber. Pasuk is talking about Sina Belev. Okay, Sina Belev. It's not talking about having taken action. And that's what the Sifra says in Parsha Kedoshim, source 20, Parsha Beis, Perek Dalet, in Osches. Lo sisachel bavecha, lo sisachicha, it says also, tamalon bilvavecha, lo marti kim besina shebelev. The Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Losa, says Shin Beis, counts Sinah. Again, no mention of Sinah Schina per se, but it's mentioned Sinah. The Rambam speaks of this Avera, and he points out, this is one of the Tayag Mitzvos, number 302, of the Losa, says on his list, it's a shin base. Shazirano misnok to say like a but some of us can't hate others. We can't hate other people. That's what this pasuk means. And he quotes the Sifra that we're talking about. Sina in belief. Actions, that's a different avera, like lo siko lo sitor, don't bear a grudge. Okay, there are other things that are prohibited for other reasons. But then the Rambam concludes with a staggering statement, the end of 21. Again, this is in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Losa, says Shin Beis, 21. Avol sinas halev uchet yoser chazok min hakol. Look at the Rambam's words there in 21. Sinah, hating someone in your heart, that's like the worst of all, the strongest sin of all. What seems a little strange when you think about it is no action, you didn't do anything. Okay? That's as bad as other things. The Rambam, that's in the Sefer HaMitzvos. In Hilchos Deos, 22, Perek Vav, Alocha, Hey, the Rambam writes, Kol asone echad shem Yisrael beliba over below tasa, shenema lo sasa, sisacha bevecha, it's a lav. Okay, now he says, this Avera, in a certain sense, is a lower level Avera here, because ain't lokin alav zel, if he shen bo maise, there's no malchus for this, because no action, you didn't do anything, you had some bad feelings in your heart, you didn't do anything. Okay, but the Torah, and of course, makes chavero, you do other things, okay, you know, I do that, but that's not losisno, it's a different avera. So losisno is achicha bilvavecha, again, in the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Rambam says it's chet yosef chazak ben hakol. On the other hand, he does seem to put on a lower pedestal in that there's no malchus. In fact, Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, Shar Gimel, the third section of the Sefer Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, he sort of has a hierarchy of all the different types of averas in ascending order, ascending order of severity. So he says, starts with aseis, which is a lower level. Anyway, bitul aseis, but a madrega revias is lav she'ein bo maisa. There's no action. He writes in Os Chavav there in 23, Os Chavav in Sefer Shari Tshuva, Shar Gimel, he writes, Amar Rabbi Sein Zechon Avrocha, Lav she'en b'maisa ain't lokin alav. The Gemara has it in a few places. Lav she'en b'maisa, you don't get malchus. Okay? Now he says, ki lav she'en b'maisa chomer lav she'en t'aseh. It's higher than other averes, but it's lower than others, and so on. And among the examples he gives of a lav she'en b'maisa is in Lo Slamid Tes, second part of 23, Lo Sisnos Achicha B'Vavecha. That's in a category of lav she'en b'maisa. That's a lower level. And he goes on after Hamadrega Chamishes. The fifth level is lav she'yesh b'maisa. Those seem to be worse. So what does the Rambam mean when he says in the end of the Sefer HaMitzvos and Motzlo Mitzvotos Hashin Beis in 21, Avosinas Halev Uchet Yosef Chazak Merakol? And then the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Tesla, we saw that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. It doesn't seem to be that high. You know, certainly not comparable to Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos and Shechazdom, yet the Gemara makes the comparison. So, and we would just add, I printed in Surah 24, we know that in the Al-Chaitz, on Yom Kippur, we say the Vidya on Yom Kippur, the long list of the you know, the Al-Khayt confession, we say, one of them towards the end, is Al-Khayt Shechatala Wanecha B'Sinas Chinam. We Davka mentioned Sinas Chinam. So, you know, again, emphasizing, it doesn't say Al-Khayt Shechatala Wanecha B'Sinah, okay, you know, or B'Sinas Chinam. Even though we look in the Torah, in the Pesukim we just said, and even the Rambam talked about Sinah, but never mentioned Sinas Chinam. Okay, no, you know, there doesn't seem to be any specific prohibition of sinas chinam in the Torah, just general sinah, and yet in the Al-Khayt we do mention sinas chinam. So the Lichtenstein suggested that the answer may be as follows. Perhaps one can argue that maybe in the list of the hierarchy and the averas and so on and so forth, maybe sinas chinam, even sin in general, certainly sin is not up there. But what we're focusing on here is not only the avera, but the effect of the avera on the person himself. Okay, the list of the al-chaits of Lichtenstein suggested relates not only to the averas, but to the sins, but to the sinner, not only to the chatoim, but to the chote. Okay, the we have bad behavior and so on, and not necessarily high, I mean, let's be honest, in the list of the Al-Khayt, there are many averas not mentioned at all, okay? And those that are not necessarily the worst, but we're also talking about the impact on the person, okay? And therefore, we find the following. When a person, we talk about tshuva, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Hei, Pesukim Vav and Zayin, we know that from the landing on a fast day at Mincha, Dir Shashem Imotzo Kruzim Osokorob, Yazov Rosha Darko. The Rosha should leave his path. It doesn't say the Rosha should leave his actions. Yazov Rosha Ma'asov or something. It says Yazov Rosha Darko. Yeah, Ibn Ezra there in Yeshayah Perek Nun Hei Pesuk Pasuk Zion writes 26. Yazov Perish Dirsh Hashem find Darko Shehu Nohug Nohug Lalechespo, the way you're accustomed to behaving. But so does David also. And there in that same Pasuk Zion, Darko Derech HaRosha. And therefore, the Lichtenstein said he liked to quote the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, "Al Tomar she'ein Tshuva ela me'averes she'ish ben ma'isa." Don't think that Tshuva is necessary only for those averes that have actions, action-oriented averes, such as Znus, Gzela, Greva, you know, sexual promiscuity and robbery and theft and so on. Okay, ela loshu me'ela. Me'elu, just like you have to do tshuva in those sins, kachu tzorach lechapes b'deos ro'os sheyeshlo. You have to also search for improper or inappropriate character traits. Okay, maybe the actual avera isn't as bad, but they're evil character traits. And therefore, he writes, therefore you have to loshuv, you have to do tshuva, min hakas, min ha'eva, min ha'kinah, min ha'hitl, min divas ha'mam, min ha'kovin, min ha'chalos, and so on. You have to do tshuva from anger, from hatred, from jealousy, from frivolous behavior, from pursuing money and honor and so on, and gluttony and these kinds of things. There you have to do tshuva from those two also. You have to do all that. In fact, the Rambam then writes, the last line of 28, Perek Zayin Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Gimel, Va'elu Avonos Koshim Me'osin She'esh Ben Ma'isa. In many ways, these sins are worse than those that involve actions. Okay? And because Bizman Sha'odam Nishka Ba'elu, if you're connected to these things, you're attached to these things, it's Kosha Hu Lifrosh Mehem, V'cheinu Omer Yazov Rosh, he quotes those psukim, that puzzle we just mentioned in Yeshaya, Yazov Rosh Darko. What the Rambam is saying is that these sins are worse, not necessarily in terms of their actual severity, since they don't have any action, but rather, suggested Lichtenstein, it's worse in the sense that it influenced, these things have a terrible influence on the person. And therefore, he suggested, well, you know, that's where Sinas Chinam fits in. Sinas Chinam involves, yes, it's true that Sinah is a violation of something the Torah says, Lo Sisnas Achicha B'Vavecha. Okay? But Chazal did not say that Sinas Chinam led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Rambam did not say in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that Sinas Halev Uchait Yosef Chozak Min HaKol on account of the actual Avera itself, but rather on the impact that such behavior has on a person or collectively on lots of people, on Klal Yisrael as a whole. That's what makes Sinas Chinam. If Sinas Chinam is pervasive within Klal Yisrael, it's a destructive force. Maybe it's not as bad on the hierarchy, like we saw in the Rabbeinu Yonah, in the hierarchy of errors, in terms of the punishment, maybe it's not as bad as other things. But in terms of the pervasive influence on a person, in that way it's worse. The the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, actually Parak Aleph Mishnah Beis, Shimon HaTzadik and so on, said the famous Mishnah, alright, the world rests on three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gmilus Chasadim. Okay, one of them again is Gmilus Chasadim, interacting with kindness to other people. And the Bartanur writes, there in Parak Aleph Mishnah, you need these three things for the world to stand. Well, if a person engages in Sinas Chinam, so then you're questioning or you're shaking, you're uprooting the notion of what do you call it, of Gemilas Chasadim, the third pillar. So one could suggest that what Mr. Lichtenstein suggests, that what's meant by Sinas Chinam is, there's no such thing as Sinas Chinam. You don't just wake up in the morning and decide I'm going to hate this person for no good reason. Okay? There is some ulterior motive. Okay? There is some ulterior motive, some kind of reason behind the hatred. There's no such thing. But it seems baseless. It seems you don't even know the reason yourself. You can't even articulate the reason. Why do you not like this guy? I don't like this guy. You know, I hate that guy. Why? You know, I don't even know. Okay, there's some reason. Okay, and therefore, a person has to, it must be because something the person once said or once did or once gave me a dirty look or whatever it is. So, you know, my pride was hurt, my self-interest were hurt, and so on and so forth. And therefore, there's a certain disregard that I have of this value of Gemilas Chasadim, of caring for other people. And if you have that kind of disregard, that, you know, and you're only sticking to the things that, you know, make you proud and you know, beef up your ego and so on. This guy once did something, said something, and you don't even know what it is anymore. Then that's something which is disruptive or even destructive to society. So there's no doubt that Sinah is an Avera, okay? But you have to look what leads to such an Avera, what leads to Sinah, okay? That's what we call Sinas Chinam, because the person who hates doesn't even know what the source is, okay? And that's why it's so hard to change, to move away from it. There's a certain corruption of the neshama, corruption of the soul, okay, which just prevents you to even know what the issues are anymore. If you know what the issues are, you could resolve it. Okay, I had an ASIC with the other person, so I confront them, we talk it out, and hopefully straighten it out. When you don't even know what it is, it's so deeply rooted in your psyche, so then it's very, very difficult, and that's the al-chait of al-chait. And the pillar of Gemilas Chasadim is undermined by such a feeling. So what Rav Lichtenstein seems to understand in terms of Sinas Chinam is that it's a character flaw deep in the recess of a person's neshama. And therefore, that's what has to be, changed. And that, of course, requires a certain amount of self introspection. And that's what we said. It's not so simple. It's not so simple to turn away from those things. Okay. The Rambam writes, and Lichtenstein quoted, that we know in Hilchos Tainus. Okay, Perak Aleph, Halacha Beis, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, we fast on fast days. Now, we're not talking there in the beginning of Hilchos Tainus and Perak Aleph about the fast days in association with Churban and, you know, Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av and the like. Rather, fast days for rain, other things like that. The Rambam writes that Dover Zemri Darka Tshuvah Hu, Halacha Beis, it's part of the, you know, the Derech HaTshuvah, that when some tzara comes, we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We cry out, Yizaku, and we sound the Chatzot and so on, and we all know that we have to repair our ways. We realize our Averis, and we do Tshuvah, then it'll go away. Okay, but on the other hand, Halacha Gimel, if we don't cry out, and instead we say, it's no big deal. Look at Halacha Gimel in 31. Perak Aleph Chos Tanis Halacha Gimel. Avim lo yizaka b'la real ayomu dover zebim mina ga'olam. This is all the way the world goes. Like we'd say, that's the way the cookie crumbles. You know, that's the way the ball bounces, whatever, you know, whatever you want to say. Okay, that's just the way it goes. You know, it's circumstances, a natural phenomenon, just, happenstance and so on. The Rambam writes that you act that way. He has strong words. He says, harezu derech achzorios. This is a wicked or a vicious or a cruel attitude, which will allow you to remain connected to your Averis, and you'll never do tshuva, you'll only have more tzaras. So the Rambam is telling us, pointed out, Lichtenstein, that there are two different, you know, obviously, we're recognizing here that whatever troubles we have come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's punishing us, but he's also saying that what we have to correct is our attitude. not just the averis themselves. And he repeats the same idea, really, in Perek Hay of Hilchos Tanis, where he's talking about the regular fast days that we know about, right? Perek Hay, Alach Alav, Yeshom, Yom, Shakar, Yisom, 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 he mentions them, right? Okay, well, later on what the days are and so on. And what you have to do on these days is we have to we have to remember our deeds and so on, and remember what caused these things to come upon us, and we have to examine our ways. We have to examine our ways, and that's really, what tshuva is all about. So really, Lichtenstein then said that, you have two things you have to do. Number one, you have to repair the deeds. There's no doubt that a person engages in averis, you have to stop doing those averis. I eat non-kosher, whatever aver I do, I eat chametz on Pesach, whatever aver I did, so of course you have to stop. But you also have to search your soul, so to speak, and that's what the Rambam is writing there in Hilchos Tanis, both in Perek Aleph and in Perek Hey, right? You have to look inside and see what's, what these things are doing to us and so on, and confess and do tshuva. But again, you have stopping the bad behavior and, looking into what I did, what I didn't do, what I should have done, what I could have done, and so on. And that's the second level. And that's what the Rambam was speaking about in Hilchos Tshuva that we mentioned before. But Lichtenstein added, what we see from here is that there's a third level, really. And that is not only examining what caused the particular avera. Why did I do this avera? Okay, maybe it's because I was being sloppy. Maybe I gave it to my Yitzhahara. I was tempted, right? So I eat the non-kosher food. So one thing is to stop eating non-kosher food. Then I should look into my soul and figure out what's causing me to eat non-kosher food. And the answer is because I walk over here and I smell it. It's so delicious. It looks so good. Okay, so now I have to address the reason. But Lichtenstein then said there's a third level, a third layer. And that is, what is leading me? What's the roots of having these attitudes, of having these traits? Okay, when dealing with sinas chinam, so I acted against another person, I have to stop. Then I have to figure out what caused me to behave. Then what made it possible for me to act that way? Where does sinas chinam come from? It comes from much deeper inside. That's not just, we're looking to describe it as a surface level commitment or surface level repair. Okay, we're dealing with some more fundamental checking into to your neshama. Okay, what leads you to be such, to behave in such a way, to dislike a person, to hate a person, with such passion, you don't even know what the reason is. And the Lichtenstein noted, we see such a thing from Psukim in the Torah themselves. You look in Source 32, Vayikra Perak Chav Vav, at the end of the Tochah, in Tochah in Bechogosai, we'll read in a few weeks, Perak Chav Vav Pasuk Mem Aleph. Afani Elechem and Bekeri, right? The 33. It says first, Perkhovov Pasuk Mem. I'm sorry. Visvadu es Avonam. The people will the end of the Tocha, it says, they'll do vidur, they'll confess their averis, right? As Avonavosam and so on. And that sounds like a good thing that we're going to confess. We're going to realize all these punishments that are described in the Tocha are coming upon us because of the things we did wrong. So we'll confess. Beautiful. The next Pasuk, Mem Allah. I'm going to behave with them in an uncomfortable fashion, so to speak. I'll behave with them, in a way that they don't want. I'll bring them to the land of their enemies. What? I thought we just said that they're going to do tshuva, right? The previous pasuk mem says visvado esavonam, right? They confess their sins. That's a good thing. So why does the next pasuk say? And now it's going to be even worse. What do you mean? They started to do tshuva. So some of the first bothered with it. Chizkuni, over there in Perkov of Vayikra Park, composing my mom, says in 34, Chizkuni says, Me'achar she'enam nichnoim. Right? They confessed, they did tshuva, but it was just, we might call, lip service. They just they went through the motions. They didn't really humble themselves before God. Okay, and that's why the next pasuk Memalav concludes, "Oh, Oz Yikonalavav." Then, when it gets really bad, then they'll humble themselves and be subservient to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Pardes Yosef, Yosef Patanovsky, also there. It's Oz Mem. It's pasuk Memalav, source 35. He says also that similar idea, right? They do tshuva, but they don't really mean it. They don't have, they don't really mean what they're saying, right? That's what I call in English lip service, right? So and that's why we even say one of the Alchetzi points out, Alchetzi Chatom Anachem Bevidui Peh, right? The same idea. That's one way certainly to understand these psukim. Okay, but the idea that the Rav Lichtenstein suggests is that maybe it means they actually confessed And they even began the process of soul searching, so to speak, but they didn't get all the way down. They didn't get down to the level of what's causing this. Okay. In other words, then Oz Yikona, right? Then they'll make amends. They'll become humble and so on. In other words, that's a result of what Lichtenstein called the third layer. Okay. Finding the root of the Avera. So you can repair the act. You can even repair the failing which caused you to act. But the real repair comes when you go and find what the root of allowed you to behave that way in the first place. And to, you know, bring this over to Sinas Chinam. That's what Sinas Chinam is. I act against the person, that's one thing. Sinna, I hate the person, and I figure out why I hate him, so I want to try and straighten out with him. But what led me to be able to behave in such a way, that's the deeper level. And that's what Lichtenstein suggested is the, you know, is really the intent of these psukim. Now it's interesting because that's in terms of sinas chinam, but in other shiurim, Lichtenstein said that this is part and parcel of the tshuva process itself, not only for sinas chinam but for other averas as well. If you look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph 37, the Rambam writes kol mitzvah shebetorah, all the mitzvahs of Torah, bein asay, bein lo asay, whatever the avera is, lo asay, okay, when a person violated. Whatever, on purpose, not on purpose. And when you do tshuva, you have to do vidu. That's in psukim, they're printed in 36 in Parshas Noso, b'midu perak hei, psukim hei through Zion, when Zion says, v'svadu es chatosam, that Rambam says the source of vidu. And he says, this vidu is a mitzvah saseh, based on this pasuk, you have to say, ono Hashem, chatosi, avisi, poshati, and so, okay, you have to say a certain formula. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam does not go into particular detail other than in the general sense. And the Rambam is saying a general statement, any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. He doesn't say that you have to consider, at least at that point, the significance of the Avera or the weight of it and so on. It seems like it's a kind of a uniform process regardless of what the Avera is, right? And that's what Rambam says. Kol mitzvah shebet Torah, that's how it begins. There's no difference. There's kind of one, if you will, uniform process that you have to follow for all Averas. Okay, and it doesn't matter what the nature of the Avera is. That's what Rambam is saying over here in terms of understanding or explaining the basic mitzvah of tshuva. So the Rambam says that his formulation is that you do have to specify what you did. That's true. You have to announce it. But you don't have to say, well, this was worse and that was worse. Everything is the same process. However, if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, he points to a pasuk in Eicha, Paragimel pasuk Mem, Eicha 38. Nach b'so adrochena v'nach korah. Nach b'so means to search. Nach korah means to investigate. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes in that same Shari Tshuva, Shari Gimel, okay, it's in 39, when he says in the beginning, he says, "Mimei shehusar b'al tshuva l'chapeis drochav," okay, which says you have to do investigation. And nach b'so adrochena v'nach korah, he says, means you have to realize. Look at the end of what I quoted there in 39, in Os Aleph of Shari Gimel of Shari Tshuva. Yesh ra keneged chama kama chatoim gedolim shekula. There are some sins which are as severe as a combination of other sins. Some sins are so severe that they're greater than five other sins put together. And therefore, Tshuva is going to be different. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah has a very different formulation. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that that there are different levels and so on. And as I said, he goes on in the whole rest of Shari Gimel to discuss the different level of Averas. So there really is two different types of tshuva. I don't think, in a Lichtenstein study, they're both right. And don't really disagree. Okay, one is talking, perhaps, at the beginning, you know, about tshuva. But there's another element as well, to Yom Kippur, and Rav Soloveitchik talked about this also in length, not for right now, but Perek Tez Zayin of Ikra and Parsha Achemos, Pasuk Lam in 40, Ki Be'om Azei Echaper Lechem L'tar Eschem, Mikol Chatos Echem L'nei Hashem Titaru. There's also two things, there's Kapor and there's Tara. Okay, this kapara is atonement, but tara is a purification, which is a different level altogether. Okay, and to go back to what we said before, Lichtenstein suggests in order to attain tahara, you need more than just repairing the specific, you know, avera, and even perhaps if we accept these three levels that we presented before, even it's not enough just to avoid the avera and to figure out what caused the avera, but to really cut to deep into your heart and what led you to even allow such behavior to, you know, to be conducted by you. That's tahara. And he says it's interesting or important to note, bring it back to the realm of sinas chinam, the Rambam, as we know, the Gemara, the Rambam quotes it, the Gemara in Yuma, Pei, Hei, Amid Beis, okay, it's a Mishnah, 41. Averish ben olam ha'makom. Excuse me. You have an aver ben olam makom, Yom Kippur mechaper. Yom Kippur atones for this aver ben olam makom. No question. Beautiful. Okay. But aver shu olam chaveru, but aver shu ben olam chaveru, ein yom a Kippur mechaper chiratzes chaveru. You cannot get atonement unless you have first gotten forgiveness from the person whom you offended. In other words, mitzvahs ben olam chaveru. Mitzvah chaveru, you cannot have forgiveness unless you have first appeased the person you offended. And the Rabbi Mazaya learns it out because it says in that pasuk regarding Yom Kippur, Mikol chatosechem lifnei Hashem titaru. Okay, automatic is only when it comes to we say lifnei Hashem titaru. Okay, well, before Hashem, averus before Hashem, yeah, that's something else. Okay, but that Yom Kippur can take care of, but it can't necessarily take care of averus ben olam chavero unless you have first straighten out your situation with that person. Okay, and that's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Which, in that sense, in a certain way, ben olam chavero is worse or is more severe. Ben olam chaver is more severe because Ben olam chaver requires not just appeasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, but appeasing the person whom you have wronged as well. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin Beis focuses on a contradiction between two psukim. 43 Dvarim Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Zayin tells us that Hashem never plays favorites. Right? Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokei Elokim V'Adonai Adonim HaKel HaGadol Gibor V'Anor Shelo Yisafonim. Right, because Baruch was never going to play favorites. On the other hand, Parshas Noson and Brichas Kohanim, Bavira Park Vav Pasuk Mem Vav, Pasuk Chav Vav, it says Yis Hashem Parah Lechem Seim Lechol Shalom. It says Yis Hashem is going to show favorites. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin Beis says Shal Bloria Hagioris. A certain woman named Bloria Hagioris asked Rabbi Gamliel, how do we reconcile the stira in these two psukim? Okay. On one hand, it says that Kosh Baruch Hu is never going to show favoritism. On the other hand, it says that Kosh Baruch Hu does show favorites, right? So how do we deal with this contradiction? So he answered, "Nitpal Rabbi Yossi HaKohen." Okay, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen provided the answer. Okay, Amarla Emshalach HaMoshal gave a moshal. I'll say it outside. The moshal was somebody said, "I swear I'll pay you back. I owe you a certain debt, and I swear that I'll pay you back." I'm a swell by the life of the king, that I'll pay you back by a certain date. Okay, and then came that day, the person didn't pay back, so it was now an offense to the king. So he went and he apologized to the king, and the king said, look, I can forgive you for what you're wrong. Elboni mochaloch, I can forgive you for the sin you did against me, but I can't forgive you for the sin that you did against the other person, and you didn't pay him back on time. So that's the same thing. Because Baruch Hu tells him, Kippur, I can forgive you for the sin which you may have committed against me, but since you wronged another person, I can't forgive you for the sin that you did to them. So again, if we're talking about repairing if we're talking about repairing character traits and so on, so the character traits ben olam chaveru are sometimes even worse because you have to figure out what caused them and then go rectify your relationship with that person. So that's what the so that just indicates the same thing. It's not enough. On one level, it's simple, right? On one level, the moshul, the answer to the Gemara is that the moshul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can forgive only what was done to him, but he can't forgive, if you will, what was done to the person. But on another level, when you behave that way to a certain person, perhaps there's something deeper inside. Not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give until you straighten that out. So that's perhaps another raya to this notion that perhaps it's a that perhaps when we talk about Tzinas Chinam, when we talk about other averus, olam chaveru, it's a matter of being deep in searching deep inside for what caused this type of behavior in the first place. And then there's something else that Lichtenstein talked about, and others have talked about this too, just to illustrate this point relating to tshuva in the general sense. We have psukim which speak about tshuva as tshuva moving away from something, avoiding something. Right? Look at the pasuk in Yechezkel Perek Yud Ches pasuk Chav Gimel. It says, "Hachafotzech potz mos Hashem Hashem Elokim." We say this in the Ela. Halo b'shuvo midrachah v'chayah. We want the person to leave his ways, right? To abandon his bad behavior, and its tshuva is moving away from something, if you will. That's one way to look at it, right? Tshuva means moving away from something. Same thing in another pasuk in Yechezkel, which you also quote, I believe, in the Ela, Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph. A person should move away from, do tshuva, from his behavior, from his bad behavior. And of course, in Yonah, after Yonah, Paragimel plus the guilt of Yonah, but when the people of Nineveh did tshuva, it says, Vayar elokim es maaseim kishovu midarkom harah. They returned from their bad ways. Okay, and the Rambam writes in the Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Perek Halacha Beis, Mahi Tshuva, what's meant by Tshuva? That is that a person, Sheyazov Achet Cheto, Yasir Machshavto, right, abandon your sin. Tshuva means moving away from something. And that's certainly one element of Tshuva. And that perhaps is Tshuva on one level, where we move away from a certain type of behavior. But elsewhere we find, for example, the Chumash, in Parshat Nitzav, in Dvarim Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, in 50, it says, Veshavto, Ad Hashem Elokecha, tshuva towards something, not away, but towards, returning to something, not away from something, but towards something. Shav to Ad Hashem Elokecha. Hosea Perik Yedal Pasuk Bei Shabbos Shuvas Aftar 51. Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Or Malachi Paragim, we read just a couple weeks ago from the Haftar of Shabbos Hagadol, Erev Pesach, right? 53. Malachi Paragim 52. Paragim Pasuk Zayin. Limivei Avoseichem Sartem Echukai Veloshmartem Shuvu Elai Veshuv Aleichem. Come back to me. Okay, that's a different type of tshuva. There's one type of tshuva where a person is moving away from something, but another type of tshuva is moving towards something. Moving away from something is easier in a way. I can stop, not easy, but I can stop. But to change a character trait and become a different person and you know, go to the root of what's causing this behavior, that's more difficult. That's what brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Rabbi, Menachem Liebtag would always speak about them. Maybe he got this from Reb Lichtenstein when he always spoke about freedom from and freedom to on Pesach.
Yeah, so it's the same idea.
Similar idea. Maybe it's I never heard it said with tshuva before. But you put it.
Yeah, I do once again the Shabbos tshuva drasha about it myself. But I think what Lichtenstein says was that if you're not moving towards, okay, like the case, if you didn't, we were not meratzes chavero, okay, so then there was something wrong with the quality of your tshuva. The full tshuva requires moving away from something and towards something else. That's what the answer to this this Gloria Hagioris in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Zayin on Lichtenstein says. It wasn't just Hashem said, I can't forgive the sin that was done to the other person. I mean, there's something wrong with your tshuva, okay? And it was by Barolo, Makom, okay, so I straight out of Kodesh Baruch Hu to that. But Barolo Chavero, if I haven't taken any steps to rectify my relation with that person, to appease that person, so there's something wrong. It's like there's still a blister inside. There's still a bruise inside. There's still something wrong with my tshuva. And that's why doesn't work.
Very similar, yeah, for sure.
Similar idea. And that's, of course, the famous Rambam, Perek Zayin, Vichos Tshuva, Alocha, Vav, and Zayin, right? Speaks about the greatness of tshuva. The person does tshuva, so tshuva mekaris rechokim. Emesh, right? The famous words of Rambam. Emesh, just yesterday, Hoyozeh, Sonu, Yilfnei Amokom, Meshukot, Tzmuchu, Metoeva, Vayomu, Ov, Nechman, Korov, he did, right? Person before he did tshuva can be far away from God. He's an enemy of God. He's hated by God. The next day he does tshuva. He's beloved. He's close and so on. And again, Alocha Zayin, right? Before you do tshuva, so you're moved all, you're separated from Hashem, you're tzoik, enonene, you call out, Hashem doesn't answer your prayers. You do tshuva, so it comes out the other way. Furthermore, just to add to the point, a person's soul should yearn for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The psukim tilim perk membeis pasuk chav kayal. Right, my soul, David Melech says, yearns for God. Soma nafshi elokim lekelchai. Right, until in Perak Ein Gimel Pasuk Mem Pasuk Chavches. Ani kirvas elokim litov. I want to be close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And in Perak Samach Gimel, again in Pasuk Beis. Soma lecha nafshi, koma lecha besari, and so on. Person yearns for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's a deeper level. A deeper level, it's more than just avoiding, it's cutting to the heart. And again, with regard to sinas chinam, it's going deep inside and figuring out what's allowing me to behave this way. And the Rambam, again, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Hoil, or Shus, call Adam Nesuna. It's an interesting expression. Lichtenstein took note of this expression. He said, since, you know, everyone has the option how to behave and so on, how to conduct himself. So it's very interesting, the language of the Rambam. He writes, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph. Is it Halacha Aleph? Yeah. He says, Yishtadel Odom Lasos Tshuva. Is that a strange language? A person should try to do tshuva. He said, does the Rambam in Hilchos Matzah say a person should try to eat matzah on Pesach night? Or a Hilchos Sukkah? Does a person should try to eat in the Sukkah? You eat the sukkah. You eat matzah, right? You put on tefillin. You don't say you try. What's this lashon here? Yishtadel odom lasos tshuva. So Lichtenstein said, yeah, because that type of tshuva requires ongoing aspiration. Okay, it's one thing to repair your ways. Another way to you have to try. It takes tremendous effort, and it's not easy. You're not always going to be successful. Right? But other mitzvahs doesn't say yishtadel odom. Here, yishtadel odom lasos tshuva. Just I think an interesting comment. And Lichtenstein also noted in a different context. You know, there's one thing to uproot something takes effort. He brought a raya from this. That's I think the yishtadel. He brought a raya to this from a Mishnah Perkei Avos in a different context. Almost the opposite context, if you will. The Gemara says and the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos Paragimel Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah says the name of B'Soi Rabbi Yanai. He says. The anyone who's called shocheach dovrech mishnoso, we're all in trouble. Anyone who forgets anything he learned is mischai malav akosku mischai benafsho. You should be put to death. Whoa, we're all in trouble. Forgot one thing that you learned because the pasuk says yishamal chosh pasuk in parshas v'chana paragdal pasuk test of devarim yishamal chosh benafsho ma'od pen tishka chazad varim. How could it be? So the Gemara says we're human beings. Mishnah says we're human beings. We're going to forget things. How could it be? Person forgets anything he learned. We're all in deep trouble. Maybe not Lichtenstein, but we're all in deep trouble, right? So the Mishnah says, no, we're not talking about a guy forgot because just simply a human being talked about Mishnah, so much you learned, can't remember. It means we uprooted it on purpose. You made effort, right? That's when the pasuk ends, upen yosuru milvavcha. You move it out of your heart. That's when you're guilty. So that takes a different effort. So a person intentionally tries to uproot his learning, okay, and to just forget about it. I know people, unfortunately, they grew up, from and so on and so forth, and they went off the derech. Look, it happens. Baruch Hashem, many people come back. But somehow, you know, it's almost like they pretend they don't know anything. What do you mean? You learn for 12 years in yeshiva, and then they come back to their parents. I know people. Like, they come back to their parents like that, and they behave, and they say, well, you never knew? You do know it, but you actively try to forget it. Okay, anyway, that's one or two last points, and we'll finish up. Well, again, all from Lichtenstein as we approach his 10th Yahrzeit this week. So, posting Yeshaya, Paragimel, Psukim Yud and Yud Aleph, speak about a tzaddik ki tov and a rosha ra, good tzaddik and a bad rosha. So that prompts the Gemara in Kiddushin, Mem of Aleph in 61, tells us, what do you mean, a good tzaddik and a bad rosha? Is tzaddik sheino tov? Is there a tzaddik who's not good, as opposed to a tzaddik who's good? Is there a rosha who's not bad, as opposed to a rosha who is bad? What kind of funny lashon is that? So the Gemara says, yeah. Okay, it says, second line of 61, Tov la shamayim, I'm sorry, the end of the first line, Tov la shamayim vila briya zeu tzadik tov. Someone who is good in his behavior with God and with people, that's a tzadik tov. Tov la shamayim, he does mitzvahs, Tov la shamayim, but ra la brios, he misbehaves with other people, he's a tzadik sheino tov. And maybe not, and I think what he means is, the person has these thoughts, he didn't do anything bad, he may have been done to give stock and so on, but deep inside there are flaws, that's a tzadik sheino tov. Okay, that's what I think he means. Okay, and by the same token, sometimes you have a raw rala shemayim, rala brias. Okay, guys, but if he's rala shemayim, but ain't a rala brias, but he has something inside, a pimple, that he treats other people nicely, maybe he's not a rasha, it's so terrible. But I'm more interested in the tzaddik side. A person can be a tzaddik in terms of his behavior, in terms of his actions, but if deep inside there's something which is flawed in his character, so then Lichtenstein says that's maybe what the Gemara means by Rosha She'eno, I'm sorry, Tzaddik She'eno Tov. He's not a fully great Tzaddik. And it's interesting, we'll skip, believe the Tziv is a different interpretation, we'll leave that out, and the Rami Sodom, Kedusha Memanav, look at 64. Gemara says, Mabitzia, we come full circle. We said that the Gemara Numa Daf Test says the Beis HaMikdash, the second base was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Okay, look what it says in Mabitzia, Laman Ar Beis. Amar B'yochan Al Chavisham El Shadonu Bad Din Torah. You know why Rosham was destroyed? Because they were explicitly, they followed the laws of the Torah. They did judgment based on laws of the Torah. So it says, what? What are they supposed to do? Supposed to follow Eladina de Megiztoladana, should follow the laws of other nations? What it means is, Shemira de Nemal din Torah, also of the Mishra, Fnimishur Sadin. They restrict and they didn't bend on anything and didn't go with Fnimishur Sadin. Okay? They didn't act with compassion to other people when there was room for such behavior. The Gemara says in Bamitzia, based on a pasuk of Mishlei Perek Bod, based pasuk Chav, Laman Telech v'Derech Tov v'Orchos Tzadikim Tishmor. There's such a thing as Derech Tov. The Gemara has a story. I'll say outside because it's late. Pei Gimel Amud Aleph in Bamitzia. Rabba Barbar Chanan had certain porters who were schlepping his wine barrels, and they dropped them, so that caused him a big loss. All the wine spilled out. Right, so he took their garments as a payment. He lost all this wine. So he brought him to a dintar before Rav, and Rav said, you got to give him their garments back. And he says, is that the din? That's halacha? What do you mean? They caused me a financial loss, all the wine. He says, yeah, leman terech b'derech tovim. That's the din, and that pasuk in Mishlei, leman terech b'derech tovim. Okay, you have to treat other people. It wasn't on purpose and so on. Have mercy. I guess he could afford it and so on. And furthermore, not only that, but these porters then said, you know, we're poor people. We were schlepping these barrels for an hour and a half. Okay, we should get paid for the hour and a half that we worked. So Rav said, you're right. They told Rabbi Rechana to pay him. What do you mean? Not only do I have to get nothing and lose my money, I got to pay him too? That's a din? Yeah. Orcha Sadiqim Tishmor. I quoted the Yerushalmi in the Rambam Metzia Perek Vav Al Chavav, because in the Babli it's Rabba Bar Chanan. In 69 it was just the same story, but Kadar, a simple potter, a simple person, wasn't an Amora. It was a regular person. Sometimes you have to act Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. Okay, and that's what when a person doesn't behave that way, that's the Maharal writes in the Sivas Olam, Parakeh, in the Sivas Gimel Chasod in 71, Parakeh, he writes, the Mida that, you know, you don't want to ever do anything good to someone else, it's not the letter of the law. I only follow the letter of the law. That's no good. That's why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And that goes back to, I think, the Sinas Chinam. It's something indicative of a deeper flaw inside. I can't pinpoint anything about it. I can't, why do I hate this guy? I don't know. But there's a flaw inside. I'm acting strictly by the din. But you have to have compassion on the person. You have to figure out when you apply what. You have to have compassion on the other person. That's that led also to the Churban HaBayis. And just to finish up, that's what the Lichtenstein pointed out on other occasions. I've heard him more than once speak about this. The famous Ramban at the beginning of Kedoshim, right? Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chof, and Pasuk Beis in Vayikra, it says Kedoshim Tiyu, and the Ramban writes that connects it to the Asisa Yoshev HaTov, to do that which is just and that which is right. Okay? And so that means Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. Sometimes you have to go beyond the letter of the law, to the spirit of the law. Paragvav Pasuk Yilches is the Pasuk of Asisa Yoshev HaTov and Rashanan. The Ramban says, the Chazal explained this because it's impossible for the Torah to have every possible case of every possible human interaction. I mean, I guess it's possible because you could have written such a Torah. But it'd be very hard to do Hagbah. Okay, it'd be very big. Okay, Torah gave general guidelines, and therefore it says in general, Sisa Yoshua Tov. And that's what the Ramban writes, that when a person behaves that way, so that, you know, he does, which is right, even if it's not the letter of the law, that causes people to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I love somebody, I want other person people to think highly of him too. If I have a good friend, I want other people to think highly of him. I have my wife, I want other people to think highly of her too. So you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Pasuk, Behavza Shemel Kecha, Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk, Ein Kriyashma, right? The Gemara has the famous one, Yuma Pei Vav Men Aleph, means that a person behaves in a certain way, he causes God to be loved. What does it mean? Kore Vishona, he learns and he's Mishamish on Chachamim, and Masal Matanam and Nachasim Abrios, he deals kind with other people. So then people look at him and say, wow, that's a from Jew. Unfortunately, we see the opposite. The Gemara goes on to tell the opposite. People who learn and you know engage in mitzvahs and they behave in an obnoxious fashion, people say, oh, that's the way a religious Jew behaves. Who wants it? But on the positive side, you have the Pasuk. Avdiato Yisrael Asher B'chol Espor, Pasuk Yeshayah Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Gimel 79, because Baruch was proud of such people behave that way. It's very difficult sometimes. Okay, it's very difficult. How do you go ahead and repair something flawed deep inside? That requires, like I said before, Yishtadel, the Rambam's language of Lichtenstein point that Yishtadel, a person should try to do tshuva. It's an ongoing aspiration. It's an ongoing effort that you have to engage in. And the bottom line, it's typified by the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, so this will finish Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalad, Hoy Omer, Asei Ritzoncha Kiritzoncha, right? Batel Ritzoncha Ne Ritzono. You do something because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, and you have to mevatel your Ratzon in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't say it's easy. I don't think Lichtenstein said it was easy either. But that should be the goal. Okay, the goal should be to figure out, like we started with Sinas Chinam, what flaw is there deep inside? And really these three levels of introspection, ceasing the act, ceasing figuring out what caused the act, and then figuring out how to cease what caused you to have such thoughts in the first place. A general character flaw. The way you repair that is realize, figure out, as Lichtenstein also talked, how does anything contribute to my Avodas Hashem? And if it contributes to Avodas Hashem, that's your pursuit. If it doesn't, that's what you have to try and avoid. Okay, I wish everybody a guten Shabbos.